This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
As baby boomers age, they and their families are trying to figure out how and where they'll be living in the future and what kind of care they'll need. Our next guest writes that in many states, changes in Medicaid funding are making it easier for people to stay out of institutional settings like nursing homes, but there are a lot of obstacles to making that a reality.
Wisconsin has programs in place to use Medicaid funding for some kinds of assistance, but those programs are in flux now after changes in the new state budget. A new plan for the state's IRIS program is in the midst of public hearings, and the next ones are scheduled Monday in Hayward and Wausau and Wednesday in Madison.
Our next guest wrote a piece on the Next Avenue website. It's titled, Will We Really Be Able to Age in Place? Beth Baker is the author of With a Little Help from Our Friends, Creating Community as We Grow Older. She blogs about aging in community for Next Avenue. Beth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, has this been a general move, a trend over the years, trying to encourage people to age at home when possible as opposed to those institutional settings?
Well, that is a trend, but I would say it's driven not by trying to convince people, but because it's a grassroots movement almost, that people are looking around at their options. They're seeing in the past what there's been is regular traditional retirement communities, maybe moving in with your kids if you're lucky enough that they want you, or what most of us choose to do is stay put in our own homes. And there's a lot of drawbacks, it turns out, to that as far as loneliness, isolation, marginalization, and that's what interests me. What at the grassroots can we do to leave ourselves in a much healthier, happier position as we grow older?
I want to get into those obstacles and solutions to them, but first, if it's done right, what are the benefits? Why are people wanting to stay at home if possible as opposed to, say, a nursing home?
There's two main benefits that I think drive this. On the one hand, especially in our culture, there's a very strong desire to be independent, autonomous, make our own decisions. None of us want to be governed by other people's rules, and most of these institutions have a lot of rules. The other reason is that people are starting to become more aware of the role that social support has, not only in making us happier, as one would expect, but even healthier. So it turns out the research is finding that extreme loneliness and isolation affects our bodies, not just our moods. So it affects our immune system, our blood pressure, all sorts of things. So there are many reasons why living at home around people who care about you, whether it's your neighbors, your friends, church members, family, is a lot better for us, not to mention the economic benefits for our society.
Well, let's talk about the reality of trying to make that happen. What kinds of support needs, whoever provides it, we'll get into that in a bit, but what kind of support are people finding that they need as they stay at home, maybe longer than they used to?
It kind of comes in waves, or even more of a zigzag is probably a more accurate way to look at it. It can start with something like your home doesn't work for you anymore, like all of a sudden steps are a problem. You're a fall risk, which is what happened to my own mother. The next thing that may well happen is you live, say, in the suburbs where you were always dependent on a car, and all of a sudden it's not such a great idea for you to drive, yet there's nowhere easy for you to walk in many of our communities. Then there's an increasing layer, maybe, of help that you might need. Maybe you can't see as well. Maybe you can't hear as well. Maybe you can't walk as well. And the more, this doesn't affect everybody, of course. It's a very individual thing. So the help, therefore, also has to be very individual, and people have to have almost like a menu of services that they can draw upon in order to stay home in a safe and happy way.
I'm talking to Beth Baker about aging in place, staying at home as long as we can, or on our own in an independent setting as long as we can. She wrote a piece titled, Will We Really Be Able to Age in Place? So that help, Beth, that people are going to need, is it out there? Is it available to us? And if not, how big a shortfall do we have?
Oh, we have a huge shortfall, to answer that part of the question. part of the reason, and it's something I try to push against, is there's so much denial in our culture about aging. So I'm really trying to encourage folks to not be in denial and see how, if they take charge of their future, they'll be in much better shape. In some communities, I would say, for example, Portland, Oregon, they've been very proactive on many fronts of making people's lives whole as they grow old at home. So there's transportation options, there's elder-friendly business certification, there's all kinds of volunteer groups. And volunteer groups and simply friendships are key to what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a whole new big government program. That's not going to happen. And I've become convinced, although I'm not somebody who's against government programs generally, that it's better on many levels if we do this as a grassroots level. It's more empowering for those of us who are doing it, and you can rely more on folks you already know instead of some bureaucracy, some strangers.
And that takes me to an issue you've written a lot about, a little bit in this piece, but also in your book and other pieces you've written. People planning their older years to be in an intentional community, to be near people that they know and can help out and share volunteer resources with and just be a community of seniors.
Yes, and that can happen in our own multi-generational neighborhoods that we've lived in for a long time, or it can happen by moving to an intentional, say, senior co-housing community. That's where people build a community from the ground up and each have their own little household, but may have a large common dining room so they can eat together once a week. It can take many forms, and I believe there's a form out there for everybody, but the most determined hermit.
Well, suppose somebody's in that situation now, they're getting older, or a parent is getting older. How do they start taking steps toward being in that kind of community? Because this is a new idea, I think, to a lot of people.
Yes, and the earlier you start, of course, the better off you'll be. I like to look at my own neighborhood, which I'm lucky enough to live in a close-knit neighborhood. But for several years now, we've been having just fun picnics, all kinds of potlucks together, hanging out together, all ages, and then there's subgroups. Sometimes it's just the older folks, and sometimes it's just the people with little kids. But through that, we found a kind of organic way of helping each other out. So I work at home. If a kid gets locked out of their house, they know they can knock on my door and I'll help them. Well, over time, as we're getting, some of us are getting older, that's feeding into helping each other with, say, going to doctor's appointments if we're having a hard time driving. And it's happening in a very natural way. So I think the older people feel a little more willing to ask for help, which is one of the big challenges. People don't want to admit that they need help. But if you are already quite elderly and you don't have a community like this, it's going to be hard to begin. And that's where something like the Village movement comes in. I don't know if you're familiar with villages. There is one in Madison, I noticed. But this is a Neighbors Helping Neighbors membership organization. And it's being formed all around the United States to assist people stay independent as long as they possibly can by calling on their neighbors for all sorts of support, non-medical support, I might add.
Talk about how that would work. I'm not familiar with that organization here in Wisconsin.
It's formed normally by a committed core of just a few people, and they get their neighbors to sign up, and they pay membership dues. It can range anywhere from $50 a year to $900 a year, depending on where you live and how much paid help the village wants to hire. So if you want to make it all volunteer, it can be very cheap. They often run more efficiently if you have at least one paid person. It's a one-stop call. So you call one central number for your village, and you say, you know, I really need a house sitter tomorrow because I have to be out, or I really want to go to the theater, but I don't drive at night anymore. It can be anything. There's also some funny examples in my book where a lady found out her cat had to be on Metamucil, and she didn't want to go buy a whole jar of Metamucil, and she called the village to give her some, and they found somebody who would do that. A 100-year-old lady had a hankering for pizza, couldn't order a whole one. That would be wasteful. She called the village. They ordered a pizza and shared it with her. It can be anything.
We're talking to Beth Baker about her piece on Next Avenue titled, Will We Really Be Able to Age in Place? You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234.
Are you dealing with this question right now for you or for your parents? Are you making an effort to age at home, outside of a nursing home or other facility? What's working and what challenges are you facing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We continue our conversation with Beth Baker. We're looking at aging in the United States and efforts to help more people grow old in their own homes in independent circumstances outside of institutional settings like nursing homes.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Is this a conversation you're having now in your family for you or maybe an aging relative? What kind of help have you found out there? What kind of help do you need to age in place? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Willie is on the line in Green Bay. Willie, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a 79-year-old World War a Vietnam veteran. And I'm a double amputee. And so I'm fortunate to have a lovely wife of 53 years, and she's a nurse. So she helps me a great deal at home.
And do you have other help, Willie? Can I ask, is this all on your wife, or is there other support out there for you?
Well, there would be because she has so many friends in the nursing area. She does a lot of volunteer work at several hospitals in town, and she also does help out other people who are worse off than I am. So I'm still able to get around. I have a wheelchair that I can actually get into my van going up a ramp so I can get around. I passed my driver's test, and which I thought was pretty good.
Not bad. Willie, thank you so much. Good luck to you. Willie gets a lot of support from his wife and her nursing network. Family, I want to talk about that a little, Beth. You wrote in your piece, I think, that family isn't necessarily the resource it used to be for people aging.
Well, it won't be just demographically. The percentage or portion of family caregivers per elder is shrinking. That's just a fact. Still, families give far and away the most support than any sector of our society. I wanted to also mention, since Willie is a veteran, about a really cool model that the VA has initiated called medical foster homes, so that if you didn't have a lovely wife who is a nurse and you were single, say, and you were a veteran who was quite disabled, you move in with another family. They're trained to support you as best they can, and they're connected through telehealth to a nurse, a VA nurse. So if they have questions about your care, they can get on a screen with the nurse. She can look at the person and support the older person living, if not in their own home, at least in somebody else's home. And it's extremely affordable model.
Willie, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Kara in Madison. Kara, hi. Kara, are you there?
Oh, this is Carol.
Carol, go ahead.
Yes, I live in Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm feel very blessed because I am part of one of the villages that your person is speaking. And the name of that village is SAIL, S-A-I-L, and it's Serving Independent Lives. And its role is both social as well as providing volunteer opportunities where members help each other, as well as providing vetted members. And if you have a problem and you don't know how to solve it, you just call one number and they will figure out a way how to get you help or to get what you need. And I can give you the telephone number of the organization if you would like that.
Go for it, Carol. Sure.
Yes, the telephone number of SAIL is 608-231-4321.
Thanks, Carol. And before we let you go, Carol, do people from outside, like non-seniors, volunteer, provide some of the volunteer help with that organization?
Primarily, it's seniors that provide the care. There are some non-seniors that are volunteers, but it's primarily seniors, some like myself, who are still very able and able to get around and help other people, and we want to pay forward to the time that we may not be so able, and then some other people might be coming up behind us and being willing to volunteer and help us.
Fantastic, Carol. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you mentioned, Beth, that isolation that people feel, this would help fix it in both directions, the people getting help in any instance and the people giving the help who are part of this.
I'm so glad Carol raised that, because another big part of our aging that can be really detrimental is if we don't have a sense of purpose and a sense of belonging. And these villages and similar organizations I write about give people that chance to give back, to have a reason to get out of bed in the morning.
So as we wrap up, Beth, are you optimistic? Do you see things moving in the right direction to get people help they need to age in place?
You know, I often think, I'm 63, I'm really glad that I'm growing old right now and not earlier, because I think there is a blossoming at the grassroots of really creative options. I think we're doing it too slowly, given how rapidly our population's aging, but I'm very optimistic, and I really hope people will give it some thought and look into some of these. My website has links to a lot of these organizations I'm talking about, bethbaker.net, and I hope you will really, all your listeners, will think about it, whether for themselves or for their family members.
Beth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Beth Baker. She's the author of the book, With a Little Help from Our Friends, Creating Community as We Grow Older. We've got a link to the piece we've been talking about, this idea of aging in place and what we do and don't have in place to help people do that. Head over. You can find that at the Central Time Facebook page. Beth also blogs, by the way, about aging in community for the website Next Avenue.